Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom and pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
Colair Cooling and Heating, Ruben speaking.
Hello, Mr. Ruben, sir.
Hey, Jesse. How were the service calls today?
Really good. So good, we're on our way to our fourth call.
That's amazing. You're really helping out a lot of people today.
My trainer, Marcos, thinks today is our lucky day.
Lucky? Lucky how?
Got every green light on 10th Street.
Wow, that never happens.
On our service calls, we had everything we needed right on the truck.
That's not luck, Jesse. That's called being prepared.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ruben. And at lunch, the person ahead of us in the drive-thru paid for our order.
I don't know what to say, Jesse. Sounds like you guys fell out of the lucky tree and hit every branch on your way down.
Sure did, Mr. Ruben, sir.
Call Colair because we care.
Get Colair cool. Visit callcolair.com.
So, Mr. Ruben, can we bring you anything for lunch?
No, I'm good. I just picked up a salad at the same place you were at.
Wait, how do you know where we got lunch?
Because you were in my rearview mirror in the drive-thru line.
License number 6249C.
Welcome back to the Empire Builders Podcast. Dave Young here with Stephen Semple, and we're talking about empires and how they were built. Get it? That's the name of the pod. That's what we do here.
And you know, I've never put that together before.
Oh, well, see, aren't you glad I'm here?
I'm so glad.
You whispered the three letters UPS into my ears just as the countdown started, and I'm trying to think of a UPS story. And mostly what I think of when I think of UPS, think back years ago, I sort of remember, I think, their start. But I remember that being a UPS driver was a way better job back then than it is today. But that's probably not a big part of this story. So let's talk about how they started.
Pretty sure it was UPS recently that actually just put through a new pay package and benefits and things along that lines that really ramped up what people are being paid at UPS, if I remember correctly. But you're right. This is not a big part. It's not a big part of the story.
How'd they get started? How long have they been around, Stephen?
They were founded on August 28th, 1907.
I feel like probably I lived in a town so small that we didn't have one until maybe the 60s or 70s. Like they just didn't show up.
Well, and this is an interesting part. There was a big challenge to them becoming nationwide. They were founded in August 1907 by James Casey and Claude Ryan in Seattle. I didn't realize that they had started in Seattle.
Okay.
And they actually first started as their original name was the American Message Company. And today, of course, is known as UPS, United Parcel Service. You know, they do like $90 billion in sales and have over, you know, 500,000 employees. Like just what a monster they've become in the space. But basically, they started around the time California joins the union. And, you know, what ends up happening now, I know Seattle's not, and before people go nuts, I know Seattle's not in California, but I was just trying to, you know, historic landmark.
It's the West Coast, yeah.
Exactly. But I get it. Before people
didn't all join
out
at once. Yeah.
So California joins the union. There's this growth happening. In the West, there's this need to transport items, and it's hard getting things to the new territories. And lots of delivery services pop up. Wells Fargo pops up for the transportation of money. The Pony Express is created for transporting of mail. Now, of course, the Pony Express only lasts 18 months because the telegraph wipes them out, right?
Right.
But
right.
Here's the interesting thing with the telegraph. With the telegraph, you still need a messenger service to run the last leg, to take it from the telegraph station to the person. So Jim Casey's 19 years old. He's in Seattle, and he sets up this business for basically running the telegrams. That's how they start.
Okay. They're the last mile guy.
That's the reason why they're the American Message Service. They start off as being the last mile guy. But what they also start doing, they also have this idea where they start doing errands for people. So a customer goes to merchant, they follow the customer around, and then they basically help deliver the packages. And it morphs into kind of this errand business, and it's weird. They're doing all sorts of things. And it's
like DoorDash.
And it takes time, and it's hard to schedule the time because people take longer and all this other stuff.
Nobody's got iPhones.
Yeah, exactly. But the combination of they're doing this messenger service, and they're doing this errand service, And it's the early 1900s, and they start noticing this popularity of department stores popping up.
Okay, yeah.
And most people don't have cars. So Casey realizes that this is growing. And what he does is he makes a deal with some merchants to become the exclusive delivery service for them. This new idea. So okay. He would now go to the store and say, hey, people buy stuff in your stores. I will do the delivery to their home. This idea starts to catch up because in 1913, the post office starts doing parcel deliveries.
Mm.
But this whole idea of doing this delivery service ends up becoming a hit with the department stores. And in 1913, they acquire a Model T Ford and they form the Merchant Parcel Delivery Service. Now, here's the interesting thing. Some places I saw the date for this company as being 1918. Others I saw 1913. So I'm not entirely sure when that happened. But this idea of delivery innovation at the time was really big. And they also started doing innovation in how things were delivered. Because traditionally, how things would be delivered is you'd have your package, I'd pick it up and deliver it. Well, what they started to do was bundle things together that were going to the same area. Oh, Dave and Susan live close by, so we will give that to this one delivery person. And that was, look, that was an innovative idea. And what they started finding is that they could replicate this idea in any city. And so they began buying, you know, small delivery companies and expanding. And they hit an obstacle when they went to San Francisco, because in San Francisco, there was already a company called Merchant Parcels. So they had to change their name. And that's when they became the United Parcel Service.
Okay.
Was because of that. That's when they became UPS.
To compete in San Francisco. I thought it was going to be that the Model T couldn't get up the hills, but that's not. It was the name thing.
Was the name thing. Now, at this same time, they decided that what they really need to do is do some branding and have standard uniforms and all this other stuff. And here's why they decided on the color brown. And I thought this was brilliant. First of all, it doesn't show dirt. It stays clean.
Right.
And if you think about in those days, like operating Model T Fords and things like that, you are going to get dirty.
It's the color of dirt.
Yeah. But the brown they picked was the same brown that Pullman rail cars were. Now, if we go back to the history of Pullman rail cars were the elegant rail cars of the time. Like if you were going to travel posh, if you were going to travel elegant across the United States, you traveled via a Pullman car. Everyone knew who they were. They were a well-known brand. They were aspirational. So what these guys decided that they wanted to have is the halo effect of Pullman. So they did it
absolutely.
The same brown. And that's why they picked that color brown.
And because the people that they're delivering for have probably all been on a Pullman. Right. So they would absolutely have a halo effect.
Or be aware of it and would like to be in one.
Yeah.
And they did lots of logistical things. Like they were just not a delivery service. They actually did a lot of training for the drivers. So for example, one of the things that they recognized was A was dangerous and B was slow was left turns. So they would map things out for the drivers to try to make it so that there'd be no left turns in the routing.
And they were doing this back then.
And also so that they would never back up. They would map things so that they would try to make it so that the driver would never have to back up. The driver would carry the keys in their right hand.
Okay.
Right? So there was a whole thing that they studied about the keys being in the right hand, because I always forget that for most cars, the ignition's in the right hand. This is the weird thing with a Porsche, the ignition's in the left.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
But it was funny about us going right hand. Why the right hand? Oh, right. That's where the ignition is. It's weird when I get in a rental car at first, I can't start the thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. There's a first world problem if I've ever heard one.
You know, even back in this time, they were doing these logistics to make the delivery more efficient, safer, more effective, all of those things. And by 1930, they have 400 employees and they moved the head office to New York. By the 1940s, they're in 17 cities with thousands of employees. Shopping habits are starting to change. The suburbs are popping up and people are getting, you know, bigger cars. So this whole department store delivery starts to wane, right? Because you got a big car, you're out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's not as big a deal. So UPS decides at that point, they're going to take on the post office for parcel delivery.
Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up this story and tell you how to apply this lesson to your business right after this.
Hey, Rick, do you ever feel like,
yeah, I do. Spinning my wheels, getting no traction.
I was going to say, like, we're part of a computer simulation. You know, like the Matrix.
Oh, I guess.
Your business still isn't growing, huh?
Nope.
Working harder, spending more, going down rabbit holes, but not growing.
Exactly. Going through the motions, like Neo at the beginning.
Well, you could talk to the host.
The guy on this podcast?
Sounds like he's figured out all the secrets for growth.
I mean, these stories are interesting.
It doesn't cost anything to talk to him.
That's true. Maybe I should get plugged in.
Come on, do it. I want to hear what your ads sound like when they play at the beginning of this podcast.
When you say stuff like that, it does sound like we're in the Matrix.
Watch this. Take the blue pill, Dave!
Let's pick up our story where we left off, and trust me, you haven't missed a thing. Okay, now, roll your sleeves
right.
up.
Right, and it really is roll your sleeves up, because at this time, each state and sometimes even each city has their own regulations on parcel delivery. So they went to battle with the regulators. Literally, there was tons of licenses needed, lots of court battles. They fought this state by state, city by city. And it wasn't until 1975 that they were able to deliver to every address in the United States.
That's probably about the time they showed up to my house when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like literally, you know, they started basically in the 1940s, this battle, and it took them 30 to 40 years to finally get to the stage where they could deliver to every address in the United States.
Yeah. Our postal service. We love them and we hate them.
Yeah.
I remember them fighting email.
Right. I forgot about that. They wanted
to charge you for every email that came through.
I forgot about that battle. So a couple of things I found really interesting about UPS is that they were doing this, you know, message delivery service and this parcel delivery service. And to me, it's one of those, look, we're in a world of change right now. They were in a world of change then. And he was open to noticing things. They were both open to this whole idea where they started going, hey, wait a minute, there's these department stores springing up and people don't have an easy way to get this stuff home. Maybe what we should do is offer that service to the department store rather than the department store having to set it up themselves. So that's, again, one of those observational changes in terms of what the world is going on around them that they were able to fit a business into. The second part is they also noticed when the business started to shift against them that they had to do something different. Like too often, I think what sinks companies is they become too dedicated, well, you know, to the idea and not recognizing, you know, this idea's time has come and gone because of this change to the suburbs and bigger cars and things along that lines. So keeping their eye open to that and also constantly working to make delivery more efficient. But my favorite is how they ended up with Brown. This whole idea of we want to get the halo effect from the Pullman car, I thought was absolutely, you know, a stroke of brilliance. You think about in that day, if the Pullman car is the thing you know about, you know it's the most elegant thing, and then you see this person pull up and they're walking up to your home with parcels and they're dressed in that same Brown uniform. There's got to be this, you know, moment of excitement and positive attachment to that.
Either that or the guy's lost. He's nowhere near the train station.
He took a left-hand turn. Should not have taken that left-hand turn in Albany. You know, Bugs Bunny needed to learn something from UPS, right? Because he was always taking that that wrong turn in Albuquerque. I bet it was a left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Took a wrong turn in Albuquerque. So I think in their DNA as a company, right, they were started to remove some friction from just getting word, right? Remove some friction from you getting a telegram that your uncle sent you from New York City to Seattle.
Yes.
And it could sit in the telegram office till when? Till somebody decided to take it round.
Right.
Right? Or a package sits at the department store till you can arrange for somebody to go pick it up. So they're trying to remove the friction of just getting these things delivered, whether it's a message or a parcel. And the fact that they're always focused on removing friction and they're hiring nimble drivers and training them to be quick and hold the keys in their right hand, they're going to be always looking for innovation, right? They're going to be always looking to make that last mile the quickest mile. I think that's really cool.
It is.
That's why they didn't do left turns. I mean, they're dangerous, but you know what else it is? It takes a long time sometimes to make a left turn, right? You're sitting in the middle of the street for a couple of minutes.
Right. And you think about that routing, like back in that day, that was pulling out a paper map and drawing it and looking at the deliveries and drawing it out so that it would be right hand, right hand, right hand, right hand, no backing up, do. Here's how you do it. And boy, that was time consuming, but as you said, led to massive efficiency.
I mean, time consuming to figure it out the first few times.
Once
you kind of have a route.
Yes, you got a route.
You probably know. And I know because I had a couple of friends back in my hometown that were UPS drivers. And, you know, the truck is sorted that way, right? It's loaded that way. Everything in it is in the order that it's going to be delivered. There's a reason that UPS became a logistics company.
Yes, and that does not surprise me, because for a company to sit there and say, hey, we've studied that holding the key in your right hand becomes just that slightly faster. But look, you're in and out of that vehicle 50 times. That 50 times adds up. You know, it's kind of like I had a really cool opportunity back a few years ago to participate in an event with a customer where they did a team building event at a school that trains pit crew drivers. And when you look at the pit crews, that's how they break everything down to 1/8 of a second motions. Look, in a NASCAR race, 1/8 of a second is like 3 car lengths. From a UPS standpoint, look, each one of those small things adds up.
Yeah, when you've got a nationwide force of delivery guys and you can shave half a second off everybody's day, it adds up to a lot of time.
Or if it's something that you're repeating 50 times, it's like, I was in a delegation training thing one time, and the person shared a really interesting statistic or a really interesting idea. Just, you know, because often what will end up happening, it would take me more time to figure it out than to do the few minutes on it. Take me more time to train the driver about putting the key in the right hand than it would save us. Well, when things are repeated, if you do something 10 minutes every workday, by the end of the year, you've spent 40 hours on that task. You've spent a week on that task. And he go, so every daily 10-minute thing is a week. Now, if you're UPS, every time you do something, it's 2 seconds times 50 times times your 100,000 delivery people. Jesus, that ends up becoming real cash.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What a cool story.
So that's how they ended up being Brown.
All right. There we go. Brown. There's probably another episode in here to talk about what I brought up at the very beginning, which is how that was a great job. And then the gig economy and probably Amazon, like we should explore that sometime.
Yeah. You know, that would be interesting to take a look at the changes that are happening in some of these spaces because of that. It would actually be, that would be interesting.
You do the research and I'll join right in. As usual. Our time is up, and Stephen, you've got homework to do. So,
thanks, David.
Sure. Thanks for sharing the UPS Brown story. You want a Brown joke? I have one Brown riddle.
Oh, sure.
I attribute it to Monty Python. We'll end with this. What's brown and sounds like a bell?
I have no idea.
Dung.
Oh, God. Goodbye.
I know. It's terrible. Bye.
Hey, I just wanted to add this note. Shortly after Dave and I recorded this episode on UPS, UPS announced that they came to an agreement with the drivers. And as Dave said, UPS has had a history of paying drivers really well, and it looks like this is going to be carrying on, because the UPS CEO says drivers will average $170,000 in pay and benefits at the end of a 5-year deal. So it looks like UPS is going to be keeping that history going. Good for them.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please share us, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review. And if you have any questions about this or any other podcast episode, email to questions@theempirebuilderspodcast.com.